Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
We sing songs about God as our refuge. It's one of the especially delightful attributes of God to experience when you're overwhelmed. But have you ever thought about how you might reflect that attribute of God? Are you a refuge to those who are in trouble? Loving people is all about saying, I'm on God's side, you're on God's side, that means I'm on your side. And Rahab is a perfect example of that. She's the perfect example. Because think about Rahab. Why did she care about those? Why did she love those spies in that way? Why was she kind to them? Why risk her life for these men she just met? Was it because they were really good looking? No. She knew one thing about these men. They were on Yahweh's side. Okay? That's the only thing she knew about them. It's the only thing that mattered. Their personalities were irrelevant. Their background, irrelevant. Everything else about them was irrelevant. She helped them for one reason. She had more confidence in their God than she had in those walls. That's it. That's it. And that's the part that James wants us to get. He's writing, James is so concerned about love. I mean, you just read this book, and he's just talking so many times that all these problems that he's addressing are coming out of a lack of love. These churches were, there was fighting, quarreling, selfish ambition, gossip, slander, favoritism, indifference to the poor, boasting, name-calling, so many different problems that come from a lack of love. And so James wants to teach us, when he talks about faith, he says, faith always results in works. It always results in works. And what kind of works? Works of love for God's people. He wants us to follow Rahab's example. If you're on God's side, I'm on your side because I'm on God's side. In fact, let's just establish that right now. Just turn to somebody sitting next to you, near you, and just tell them out loud. Just say, I'm on your side. I'm on your side. Good. All right, good. Now look at someone else. Someone you're sitting and say it to them too. I'm on your side, too. Okay. Excellent. All right. All right. It shouldn't take quite that long. We got it. Good. Now, I just want to establish that out loud. We're on each other's side, right? But let me ask you this. What does that mean? When you just said that to that person, I'm on your side, what were you communicating to that person? What does it mean you're on their side? Well, for Rahab, it meant she gave lodging to the spies. That word translated gave lodging. Your Bible might say received. That it just means she took them in when they were in trouble. She sheltered them. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can show love to people. A lot of ways you can be on their side. But James, and he's given us several. He's talked about caring for orphans and widows, not showing favoritism, meeting physical needs when somebody's in need. But now he gives us one more. Offering refuge to someone who's in trouble. That's part of what it means to be on their side, to be on someone else's side. So we need to do that. You might think, okay, I mean, I'd love to do that, but honestly, I just don't get a lot of Hebrew spies knocking on my front door very often, you know, who need refuge. How can I do that? Well, maybe not spies, but think for a minute about this concept of refuge. We love it that God is our refuge. We want to reflect that in our lives. Have you ever thought about whether you are a refuge to people who are in trouble around you? When people have just problems and trouble raining down on them, would it be a good idea for them to come to you? Think of those people who have been a refuge in your life. This is a perfect day to talk about this, right? Because who's the number one person who's been a refuge in your life? Mom, right? When you're a kid, it's always mom. That's where you go for refuge. What about as an adult? Well, for a lot of us, it's still mom. but who are the people? There's some people that they're like a refuge, and other people just aren't, right? When you're being bombarded with trials, you're getting weighed down, you're getting discouraged. There are some people, you don't want to go to them. You'll go to them, it'll make it worse, right? For example, grumblers. You don't want to go to a complainer when you need refuge, because all they're going to do is try and top your stories about how bad things are. And even if they don't, and they talk about you, they'll focus on your troubles. All your attention will just stay focused on your troubles. And when you're done talking to them, you'll be twice as discouraged as you were when you came to them. That's one example of a non-refuge type person. Another example of someone who's not very good as a refuge is people who lack compassion. Right? You come to them, they're just oblivious to the fact that you're even hurting, and they just carry on with business as usual without even noticing you're over here dying in a pile. So some people aren't too good at it, but there's other people. When you spend time with them, it's just like stepping into a sanctuary of rest. You know? You ever met those people? You just they have so much trust in God's goodness and so much trust in God's kindness and faithfulness that their faith just kind of rubs off on your heart and you start to trust. They have a way of turning your attention away from your troubles back to God, and they do it so gently. And when you're around them, you just get the sense, okay, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Their trust in God just has a calming effect on your anxieties and a strengthening effect on your heart, and you just feel fortified. I want to be one of those people. I want to learn how to be a refuge. I want people who are in trouble to be able to come to me and I can tell them, I'll be a refuge. I'm on your side. I want to impart to you some portion of strong, unwavering, contagious trust in God. That's one way you can be a refuge to others. Another way we can be a refuge to one another is by being a protector of each other's reputations, right? I'll guard your reputation. I'm on your side. A minute ago when we looked at each other, we said, I'm on your side. Maybe what we're saying there is, I'm going to guard your reputation. If gossip about you starts up, I'll shut it down. If I'm there, your reputation starts being degraded, I will not only refuse to participate, I will rebuke that person that does the gossiping, and I will speak up in favor of you. I'll speak up in ways that build your reputation. So when you're being talked about, I've got your back. If I'm there, I'm on your side. A couple of examples of refuge. That's what Rahab was doing. She was a refuge for these men. Can you think of anyone in your life who might need you to be a refuge for them right now? Sometimes when the people we love are going through a lot, we're so focused on trying to give them advice and help them handle the situation, we forget that sometimes what they need most is just a little respite, a refuge, something to shelter them. Even if it's just helping them think about something else for a half an hour to give them a break. It's not always obvious when people need you to be a refuge for them, so ask God to show you any instances today when someone around you might need you to serve them in this way.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.